Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love and your wonderful purposes in our lives in this church. And we thank you that as we come together on each Sunday, you are so pleased with us, and you want to also share with us your pleasure. And in your pleasure, we can come into your Sabbath and your Shalom. And as we wait on you, you renew our strength like an eagle. And so, Father, we thank you for the renewal that is taking place even right now. And Father, we thank you that you draw us closer and knit our spirits to be joined to you. And as we are joined to you, your everything you are, everything you have will be imparted to us. And even now, we pray that that joining of spirit will take place among us and help us to come to into a deeper knowledge of who you are and who we are in you. So, Father, we thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so Kevin started our sermon series, Awesome God, last Sunday. How many of you remember the subject, the title of it? So it was about Moses' encounter with God, and he came out of it knowing God as the Lord. We know that God is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And so the objective of this sermon series, which is being preached around the globe in the Every Nation family, the objective is that at the end of this series, people will have a deeper understanding of God's greatness and goodness, leading to worship, holiness, and mission. So how many of you know that our God is a great God? He is so great beyond measure and beyond our imagination. And God is good. He is good all the time. And even sometimes you may question the goodness of God, but the Bible tells us that there is no darkness in God. He's all holy. So we know that God is good, and he's good all the time. And his goodness is beyond all of our comprehension. So when you understand or meditate on the goodness and greatness of God, you can't help but to worship him, to honor him. And then when you are worshiping, honor him, at the same time, God's holiness will be imparted to you, and you desire to be as holy as he is. And also, you have the desire to share with people what you know about God. And that is the mission, that you want to make disciples, you want to share the gospel with other people. So it's important that we always meditate and knowing the greatness and goodness of our Lord. And also in this series, we are examining the awesomeness of God through encounters men and women had with him. And last night, we had a Holy Spirit session. And how many of you had an encounter with God last night? Okay, one hand, two hands. Okay, three, four, all right, five. And I know sometimes it's kind of abstract, you know, with the term encounter. What does it mean to encounter God? And so that's why we have this series. We want to just share with some biblical characters who had a very powerful encounter with God. And then they came out of the encounter knowing who God is, and their lives are changed accordingly. So hopefully that today we will also have a deep, a fresh encounter with God. Amen? And so in each instance, there's a particular name of God that captures what God revealed about himself in the encounter. So that's why I really like this series, because not only we can have appreciation of the goodness and greatness of God, but also we see from the Bible that the powerful encounters that help people really know who God is. And so through these biblical accounts, we can also know who God is, and our lives can be changed. So today, we're going to look at Jehovah Shalom. So after Jehovah the Lord, we're going to know God as Jehovah Shalom. So Shalom means peace. I remember last year sometime when I was preaching, I'd say Shalom to all of you. And I'd explain a little bit what Shalom means, or the connotation of this word, Shalom, in the Hebrew word. And I took this from my wife, Pastor Hope, because she took a lesson of Hebrew at NTU, and she really enjoyed it. And so she came back one time, she said, oh, I know what Shalom means in Hebrew. It's not just peace, it's more than peace. It means that you come to the most blessed and full situation in every aspect of your life, including your health, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, physical health, and also your relational well-being, and also with your finances. So that's what Shalom means. Not only you come to the fullness of every aspect of your life, but also is harmonious in every area and all together. So we know that a lot of people, they may be blessed in one certain area, but when you look at their life in total, there can be some missing part in their lives or some regrets in their life. But Shalom, what God's intention for you is Shalom. Do you believe that? That's what He wants to give to you. Every time you have an encounter with God, every time you come before His presence, His heart for you is Shalom. So maybe if you feel like, oh, I'm so inadequate in some areas, so insufficient, but you know, like Rona or Bertina just shared earlier, and it's really, you know, when you look at your own weakness, you don't have to focus on your weakness, because at your very weakness, God's grace is going to come through and cover it and make it full, so that even the glory and the power and grace and the goodness of God can be manifested in your weakness. So that's why Apostle Paul rejoices every time when he sees his weakness or his inadequacy, because he knows that he can boast in the glory of God in his life. So this is Shalom. And I find one thing quite intriguing. That is very common that the first-time visitors to church have an obvious sense of peace. So I would ask them, oh, how do you feel about coming to church? They may say, oh, I don't really understand everything going on. I may not understand everything you say or the speaker says, but I have a sense of peace. So when you come into the presence of God, you have a sense of peace. Why? That's what we are going to talk about today. The title already give it away, because God Himself is peace. He is Shalom. So when you come into His presence, you encounter His Shalom. You encounter Him as well as who He is, what He has, which is Shalom. Okay, so today we're going to look at Gideon's story. Gideon is in the book of Judges, and this is a story happened more than 3,000 years ago about an Israeli leader. His name is Gideon, but he didn't start out as a spiritual leader, and actually he was quite the opposite. So we're going to look at this scripture, which is quite long. Follow me, and we're going to read through this story. So this is from Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezites, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So there are some words that are difficult to pronounce. You know, Ophrah, I'm tempted to say Oprah, but so this is Ophrah, O-P-H, P-H should be F. So we see that in the beginning of the story, there was an angel. Angel appeared to Gideon. So what was Gideon doing? Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So the key word about Gideon's situations is hidden. He was trying to hide himself when he was going about his daily routine, his work. Okay, so what is a wine press? Let's look at the next slide. Do we have that picture? No, we. Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. So this is a wine press, Israel wine press that was discovered, which is 1600 years old. So this is a wine press. So in this story, we find Gideon in this wine press. What was he doing? He was trying to beat the wheat. So normally, when people beat the wheat or threshing, they want to remove the husk of the grain. Yeah, it's hard, so you have to beat it hard. And when you beat it, the husk of the grain will just go up in the air, and then the wind will blow it away, and then you will have the grain. Okay, this is how it works. So normally you do it in an open space when the winds can come and blow the husk away. But why did he do it? You know, when you look at this, you know it's actually, underground, okay? And then so there's no wind to blow this. So this is not actually a very ideal place to do the threshing. But he had to do it because he was in fear, because he had to hide himself from his enemies, the Midianites, who has pretty much taken over their land. So he was in fear. He was under the oppression of the enemy. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, almighty man of valor." So just imagine you are Gideon, okay? Now you are just going about your daily mundane things, and you try to hide from your enemies, and then something just appear before you, don't know what it is. Maybe a little bit glorious, but it's kind of scary to see something all of a sudden appear before you. And then it started to talk to you, and only it says out of the blue, it says, "The Lord is with you." Okay, this is very confusing to Gideon, and then we'll see as we read along. The Lord is with me? Okay, so why am I in this situation? And then, almighty man of valor, who are you talking to? It couldn't be me. I'm in so much fear. I'm in prison by fear. How can I be a mighty man of valor? Mighty man of valor should be like the small group in Kevin's home. The mighty man of valor. He was very confused. So verse 13, "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with me, why then has all this happened to us?'" So why are we, so much oppressed by our enemies? "And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.'" No wonder Gideon was very confused by what the angel was speaking to him. "And the Lord turned to him." Oh, it was, in the beginning it was the angel of the Lord. And then now it says the Lord. So it may be a little bit confusing, but this is what happens in many accounts in the Bible. A lot of times, God or the Lord will become in a shape of a human being. So sometimes they can be perceived as an angel who is a messenger sent by the Lord. But sometimes it was Lord himself embodied in a human form. So obviously this is a really personal encounter with the Lord himself. Okay? And then, so the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours." So when Gideon think about his might, you know, my might is only good enough to beat the wheat. So I don't have any kind of might. What are you talking about? But here, what does God means when he said, "Go in this might of yours"? This means that Gideon, without knowing or perceiving it, he's actually receiving a new power, a new strength, a new anointing that is way beyond anything that he has ever seen. But now it's given to him. It's kind of interesting. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't perceive it. But, you know, but when God speaks, that is already happening. That is already deposited in you. Whether you feel it or not, it is yours. Because that's the power of the Word of God. God, when God says, there be light, and the light will come to existence. So when God says, "Let there be power in you," then the power is already in you. Okay, so this is the power of the Word of God. And he said, "Go in the might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" So this is even more confusing. Okay, so maybe I can pretend to be a man of valor. I can feel good about myself. But, you know, sending me to fight my enemies, that's totally another story. How could this be? Now you are sending me for this mission, Mission Impossible. How can I do it? So verse 15, and he said to him, so he was being very honest with the Lord, that we don't have to pretend to be very, you know, holy, full of faith. We just need to be who we are, who we really are, being authentic before the Lord. And he said, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So he has very good reasons to question, because when he look at his objective conditions, he really, you know, is really the least of the people in his family, in his clan, even in the whole nation. But it's very interesting. This is how God works. A lot of times, he will pick those, in human eyes, maybe the least, but he will show forth his glory working through the apparent weak vessels, which some of us can relate to. So we can say, "Oh, you know, I'm the least. I feel so inadequate. How can I be used by God?" But here, Gideon is a wonderful example how God chose him, and he had an encounter with God, and then he received a mission and calling, and then God was able to use him to do mighty things for the Lord and also for his nation. And then verse 16, "And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.' And he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that is that it is you who speak with me.'" So although angel has appeared to him, a Lord himself has appeared to him, but he still has so much fear and doubt in him. So he's asking God for a sign. So then he just went in and took out some wheat and broth and also a young goat, and took it out, and he wanted to offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord. And then when he did that and put it on the rock, and all of a sudden, out of the rock came a fire that consumed all the sacrifice he had to the Lord. So that was a very obvious and strong sign to the Lord. At that point, and Gideon, verse 22, then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And finally, he realized, oh, this is really the Lord. This is really the angel. And Gideon said, Allah, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. So back in that time, where people believed that if they do see the face of the Lord, they will be killed. They cannot continue to live. So he was in greater fear. But now at this point, verse 23, but the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear. And today God wants to say the same thing to you. Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. Okay. So we see that Gideon come out of this encounter with God, knowing who God is. He's the God of Shalom. God, my peace. He built this altar. And what is the use of this altar? Of course, for worship. So now that when he knows who God is, what he wants to do is to worship him. So if you do have an encounter with God, if you do know who God is, you can help to work, but to worship him. So what is worship? Worship is to exalt him. Worship is to bow down your life before him. Worship is to adore him, is to love him. So when you have an encounter with God, when you know him, you will exalt him as who he is, and you will bow yourself before him, and also you will love him, and you will praise him and pray to him. Okay, so now in this encounter, in this story, we see that Gideon had an encounter with God that left him changed forever. And he was changed from a prisoner of fear to a man of valor. His encounter with God left him with the understanding that God is his peace. And that's exactly what he needs the most for his life. And this name reveals the state of Gideon's heart and greatest takeaway from the encounter. His encounter with God changed his identity, destiny, and his nation. So there are 3 points I want to share with you deeper. So the first one is Gideon's encounter with God changed him from a prisoner of fear to a man of valor. So we see that Gideon was imprisoned by fear. And sometimes, a lot of us may be struggling with fear, just like Gideon. But when you encounter God, when God's grace covers you, his strength will cover your fear, and then you can be strong in the Lord. And when I shared with people that we are moving to the States, and most people's reaction to us, either believers or non-believers, they will say, oh, why are you doing this? This is crazy because a lot of people in Taiwan, they think, wow, America's pandemic is so severe. It's probably the most serious in the whole world. And why do you choose to go there at this time? You must be either out of your mind or you are very courageous to do that. But actually, in our hearts, it's not because we do not have fear. It's not because we are very courageous. It's simply because it's God's will. So we know that the safest place is to be in God's will. Yeah, so when God calls you to somewhere, you just go there because you know that his protection will go with you. And when his protection is with you, that is the safest place. So, when I look at myself, actually, my personality can be timid, and I can be struggling with fear. But the thing is that, you know, I learned that when I sense that there is a fear inside of me or insecurity or timidity in me, I will turn to God. And then when I turn to God, come into His presence, and His shalom will come to me. And I can be strong, and I can overcome fear. Okay? So you don't have to stay in your personality. You can be changed. You can be go beyond your personality, go beyond your weakness, because when you have the presence of God, you can be changed. Okay, and are you aware what fear could do to you? So when you think of your experience of fear, you know, some of you really can relate to that. So the fear could paralyze you. Fear can imprison you. So the Bible says that people are bound all their life because of their fear of death. So fear of sicknesses, fear of pain, you know, fear of so many things. And then that can paralyze you. When you do that, when you allow the fear to stay in you, that can bind the hero in you from your mighty exploits. So I want to let you know that just like Gideon, when he saw the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord said that go in the might you have. Okay, so you know God has already given him might instead of weaknesses. There is already a hero, a champion in Gideon when he encountered God. So it's the same with you. There is a hero inside of you. And the name of hero that is inside of you is Jesus. So you have Jesus in you. You have a superhero in you. And you can do mighty exploits with the Lord. Amen? So just don't look at your natural. Don't just look at what you have naturally, but you need to need to see what you have with Jesus. Yeah, so God declares that you are more than a conqueror. So you are more than a conqueror. So a lot of times I may be feeling weak or defeated, but I will just stand on the word of the Lord because the word says, I'm more than a conqueror. So you are the same. You are more than a conqueror. So Christians are not people who always feel very strong and courageous. That's not a reality. The reality is that you feel weak a lot of times, but the good news is that in your weakness, you are more than a conqueror. So you are brave because God is in you. God made you more than a conqueror. So the peace of God in our lives calms our inner turmoil and enables us to obey Him with courage, even in fearful, uncertain, and dangerous times. For us, just going through the pandemic from 2020 into 2021, there can be a lot of uncertainty. There can be a lot of dangers ahead of us. But as Christians, the surroundings may be getting worse, we can be stronger and more courageous because God's grace and God's power is even going to be more manifested in your life. Amen. Okay, the first point is that we see that Gideon's encounter with God changed him forever. And the second point is that his encounter with God left him with the knowledge and revelation that God is his peace. We need to know that God is our shalom. When we have God, we have shalom. Okay? I have such a revelation and burden I really want to share with you. That is, our life as Christians are joined to Christ. Okay? So what does it mean, joined to Christ? In other words, you are not alone. You are not independent from God anymore. So sometimes you may be feeling lonely. You may be feeling that, oh, you know, I have to deal with this situation all by myself. That's a lie, because your life is joined to God. You are one with God. So as you, when you are one with God, what does that mean? That means what God is also becomes your identity. I'm not saying that when you join to Christ, you become a Christian, you become a God. That's not what I'm saying. But our life is joined to Him. It's pretty much like a drop of water. When it can be very trivial, it can be gone when the sun comes up. But when the little drop of water drop into the Pacific Ocean, it becomes part of the Pacific Ocean. Okay, so our life is actually joined to Christ. And this is a mystery. But we need to know, when you encounter God, you are joined to God. And your life is never the same. And then you inherit the characters and also the inheritance and the power and the gifts and what He has to you. So it's so important. So a lot of times, maybe when I'm in a fearful situation, I would say, "Oh God, help me, help me," and then as I continue to walk with the Lord, and I may change my prayer to, "Oh God, you are peace. So I turn to you. You help. You will give me your peace." And then further into my walk with the Lord, I just turn my eyes from my feelings, and turn my eyes away from my surroundings. I start to focus on God Himself. Okay, so maybe I'm in a fearful situation, a lot of anxieties, but I just simply turn to God, focus on God, praising Him, singing praises to Him. As I focus myself to God, I'm connected. My being is more connected with His presence. And then, so when I'm in that fellowship, in that connection, in that joining to Jesus, then who Jesus is, what Jesus has, is imparted to me. So in other words, when you are in communion, when you are in fellowship with God, there is an interchanging taking place between you and God. And then all your anxieties and fears, God is taken away. And then the shalom and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit is coming to you. So I really encourage you, when you are in difficulties or challenges, you come to the Lord and just, pray to God whatever you can. Whether you just cry out to God for help, whether you just start to worshiping or praising Him, or you simply sit before Him. Whatever you do is going to give you peace, and God's shalom is going to fill you, and your life will not be the same. So let's pray together. Let's come into His presence. Let's seek the Lord earnestly, have a great hunger in our spirit, and cry out to God, "Jesus, I want to have more of You. Jesus, I want to have a deeper encounter with You." God is with us, and He desires that you have a deep encounter with Him. He desires that you believe that you can be joined to Him, and your life can be changed. So let's fix our eyes on the Lord. Lift up our eyes to Him and allow Him to take you and to have His way in your life. Thank You, Jesus. We worship You. We honor You. Glory be to God. Let the shalom of Jesus Christ right now change your lives, fill you. Let go of all your fear, all your anxieties and worries, all the darkness, flee from you, but allow the shalom, the will of the Lord to be imparted and fulfilled in you. Thank you, Jesus.